Welcome to the Chakra Therapy Certification, Module 1, Foundations. In this module, you're going to have an introduction to the chakras, we'll learn some chakra anatomy, understand chakra therapy, balancing the chakras, and chakra needs. I'd like to start by sharing a little bit about myself and say thank you so much for being here. My name is Timmy Horvath. I'm a Reiki and Energy Healing Master Teacher, Certified Aromatherapist, Certified Aromatherapy Teacher, Holistic Health Practitioner, Holistic Health Educator, and the owner of the Sacred Wellness School of Healing Arts. I am a lifelong learner. I love natural wellness. I have ever since I was little, but I also prioritize doing what works. I think people like learning with me because I get straight to the point. I'm very practical, and really, I really prioritize holistic care more than doing something natural for the sake of it being natural. For me, the number one priority is that something is effective and that it works, and of course that it's safe. So that's always where I'm coming from. One thing I didn't list here in my biography is that I have a background in nursing. It wasn't a very long career in nursing because I was fortunate that I was able to spend majority of my career being in the holistic health industry and being a fitness and yoga professional. However, I like to mention this because the reason I went into nursing is because I'm very pragmatic and allopathically minded to begin with, and I've taken that grounding into my work as a holistic health practitioner. So hopefully that will be useful for you. An introduction to the chakras. The chakras are our energetic organs and form a bridge between our physical and energetic bodies. The word chakra is Sanskrit meaning wheel, and it is a hard CH, so pronounced chakra rather than chakra or chair and church. There are 7 main chakras that lie within the physical body, beginning at the base of the spine and culminating at the crown of the head. There are actually hundreds of chakras throughout the body. And so if you're familiar with traditional Chinese medicine, you'll know that there are many meridians running through the body, and the places where they intersect create little pockets of energy or minor energy organs. An example of smaller minor chakras in the body are the chakras that are in the palms of the hands or in the soles of the feet. And I do like to draw on these chakras as well. There's also the chakras that ascend above our head. So you may be familiar with the soul star chakra. Some chakra energy systems work with 12 chakras, and there's also the earth star chakra, which is below the feet. So the 7 chakras that most people are familiar with, from the root all the way to the crown, line up within the physical body. I suppose with the exception of the crown chakra, which is actually above the head on the crown. And so how this works, if you want to imagine a whirling vortex or like a little tornado energy, right? Like a swirl of energy. And so the root chakra swirls from the bottom up. So you can imagine that swirl, that tornado, drawing energy from the bottom up the base of the spine. And then the crown chakra swirls in a downward motion. So it draws energy from the top of the head and draws it down the body. And then the chakras that line up along the body from the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th draw energy horizontally. So drawing from the front towards the back. The chakra system, as we understand it today, is truly an international system of approaching healing and energy medicine. And yes, it does have Hindu roots, but if you really look at the original chakra system as it was outlined in the ancient Hindu texts, it's not going to be very similar at all to what we understand it to be today. Over the years, what we do as a society is that we take from our own culture and that we take from our own experiences and we add to this collective understanding. And so that also changes too with the way people are perceiving the chakras and energy systems empathically and psychically. So really, much like the evolution of yoga as a practice, the chakra system is something that belongs to everybody. And it's something that people do unite with when they're looking at the energetic body psychically. They do tend to see whirling vortices of energy and the colors as well, because each chakra resonates with a single, with the colors of the rainbow. And it's a marvelous coincidence, of course, that, for example, the root chakra energy resonates very, very strongly with the red energy. More on that later. So in this course, we will learn about the 8 chakras. We're going to start with the earth star chakra that's below the feet, also known as chakra 0. And we're going to focus on the main chakras that most people are familiar with. So chakra 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, for a total of 8. So here is a picture In this photograph, it doesn't have a picture of the foot chakra, but if this person was standing, the foot chakra is actually below your feet, about, say, about 3 feet into the earth. So again, there's chakra zero, known as the earth star chakra, or you might know it as the foot chakra. Chakra one is the root chakra at the base of the spine. Chakra two is the sacral chakra, and that is between the hips or in and around our reproductive organs, so below the belly button. Chakra three is the solar plexus chakra, and this is below the rib cage above the belly button. Chakra four is the heart chakra, right at the sternum. Chakra five is the throat chakra, in the middle of the throat. Chakra six is the third eye chakra, which is in the middle of the forehead, just above and between the eyebrows. And chakra seven is the crown chakra. And just like in this picture, the crown chakra is above the head. And if you're looking at this picture, you'll see that, you know, the symbols of the chakras, and you might think that even the crown chakra and the root chakra is a horizontal line of energy from front to back. But you just remember, with the root and the crown chakras, it is that vertical line of energy. So again, the root chakra draws energy from the bottom up the spine, and the crown chakra draws energy from the top of the head down into the body. So understanding chakra therapy, what exactly does that mean? When we work with the chakras, we're practicing a form of energy healing or energy medicine. Each chakra is responsible for different aspects of our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health, as well as our lifestyles and relationships with others. By working with the chakras, we're able to practice a truly holistic model of wellness, which will benefit every aspect of our lives. Our energetic and physical bodies are interconnected, and the state of one will affect the other. Practicing energy healing is a subtle and gentle way to slowly guide the body into a state of balance via our energetic layers. Over time, our mental, emotional, and physical bodies will respond to this vibrational shift, and we may even experience changes in our lives and relationships. I just want to clarify here what I mean by subtle. And so subtle does absolutely mean soft and gentle and unassuming, but it also refers to a type of healing that is purely energetic in nature. So there is no physical component to it. And that's one of the amazing blessings of energy medicine. Certainly there are exceptions to this rule, but I like to work with energy medicine that is truly non-physical. And that doesn't mean it doesn't have an effect. It can have a profound effect on the energetic and spiritual bodies, which will eventually reverberate out into the physical bodies. And sometimes there's very little time lapse, and sometimes there's a little bit more. But for the most part, what I'm trying to say is that subtle indicates both the nature of the energy healing and then also the fact that it is gentle and, for the most part, free of side effects. I'll say right now that for the most part, chakra therapy, Reiki, and crystal healing, I can't really think of many side effects. However, there is just one certain thing that I would want you to consider. People with very, very major clinical depression, or people who are schizophrenic, especially any kind of schizophrenia, really, and it's not that the energy healing in and itself is harmful. It's that often as practitioners, when we're working with energy medicine, we're bringing people into an altered state of consciousness just by virtue of customer service. We want to allow our people to drift into a state of not concentration, but deep relaxation. And if you haven't experienced energy medicine yourself, then I can tell you that anybody who's had an energy healing treatment, and I use word treatment loosely, I mean to say session, but I may accidentally say treatment, they describe it as being in a state of altered state of consciousness, like deep meditation that's happening to you, which, if you're mentally healthy, is great. I'm not saying it absolutely will be harmful if you have a mental disorder, especially an extreme mental disorder. I'm just saying it's something that you as a practitioner have to really, really think about, because we do know that especially in cases like schizophrenia, major depressive disorder, even bipolar disorder, right? It's dangerous bringing people into an altered state of consciousness. So I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just saying that perhaps you may not be in a position that you could do it well or effectively or safely. Okay, moving on for now. Chakra therapy is best suited to maintaining a person's general wellness. It's not to be used as a replacement for medical treatment, especially when dealing with physical or mental ailments. When applied mindfully, energy healing techniques such as chakra therapy can be a powerful adjunct to all forms of treatment, including prescription drugs and medical intervention. So it's never, ever, ever a question of energy healing or medicine, or energy healing or medical intervention. Just do both. That's what true holistic healing is, right? You deserve the best of all worlds. There are amazing doctors out there. There are amazing energy healers out there, amazing shamans, amazing herbalists, amazing massage therapists, and you deserve the best of everything. That's what I believe. Chakra therapy can particularly be helpful for people who have had surgery, as working with the chakras can help to rebalance the energetic body after the procedure. And not just chakra therapy, you know, when someone's had surgery, you know, typically they're in pain. The last thing they want is any more touch, certainly nothing hard or invasive. That's the last thing they want, but you can still provide them with loving, compassionate care energetically in a way that won't bother them at all, via chakra therapy or any other subtle energetic healing modality. In addition, since energy healing is typically very relaxing, healing outcomes can improve if only because stress reduction promotes healing and increases immunity. And I think that makes sense, right? We do know that as a society, the vast majority of our illnesses and our strains and our pains are due to stress. And if we can say that the very least that we can say about energy healing is that it's very relaxing and it helps you sleep, then that in and of itself, we know, can help your overall outcome. The chakras are often referred to as either being balanced, overactive, or underactive. So what does that mean? When a chakra is clogged or blocked, it becomes underactive. And if a chakra is overstimulated, it becomes overactive. So while it's quite normal for our chakras to fluctuate as we go about our lives, neither extreme is healthy in the long term. Therefore, we're always seeking balance or homeostasis, in much the same way we seek to keep our physical bodies in a state of homeostasis. In this sense, balance refers to resilience and the ability of the chakras to bounce back from a state of dis-ease. Okay, let me clarify that even more. So, I'm sure you've heard the term blocked chakra, overactive chakra. So what does that really look like? So let's just say on a superficial level, and we'll go deeper into this very soon. A heart chakra that has an imbalance, a healthy heart chakra is able to love freely and be compassionate and to accept love. A heart chakra that might need a little bit more love or a bit more attention might manifest as jealousy, possessiveness, codependence, and insecurity, right? And so it is normal to feel all of these things. It's just not nice. And I think we can all agree to feel jealous all the time can be incredibly dysfunctional, not just to your own mind, but to your relationships in general. So when we're talking about balancing the chakras, we're talking about, like I said, resilience and the ability for the chakras to bounce back. We cannot expect our chakras to be brimming and spinning optimally every single second of every day. That is impossible because our lives change and we're always changing and we're experiencing different things and we're meeting different people all the time. So we are going to feel all the things. And in fact, a blocked chakra is somebody who is not allowing themselves to feel their feelings. If you're afraid, feel the fear. If you're angry, feel the anger. The quickest way to block your chakras is to suppress your feelings. Let me just say that. So a resilient chakra is one that will allow the feelings and the energy to flow through and then will bounce back, right? We will all react. So the chakras, they shift in energy, just like our physical bodies shift and adjust depending on what we're dealing with in that time. Think about what happens when you catch a cold, right? Your body starts reacting and you get all these strange symptoms, but your body is really, what's happening internally is your body is shifting to allow for the immune system to kick in. These things have to take place. And so it manifests as, you know, all the symptoms of a cold, but that's part of the process, right? I'm not suggesting that we seek out trouble or we seek out disease. Of course not. Take precautions whenever you can, as much as you can. And certainly there's no need to seek these things out because welcome to planet Earth, they're going to find us anyway. But working with the chakras and balancing the chakras will make our earth walk hopefully more pleasant and give us the ability to really enjoy life to the fullest and to hold space for others as well. I want to introduce you to the concept of chakra needs, which I found through Christine Gwinnett. And I believe she's based out of Quebec here in Canada. And she applied the chakra system to the human needs theory by Tony Robbins. And so she's a life coach And she realized that our human needs correspond with the chakras, and she developed the chakra needs as a powerful tool to increase self-awareness. So this is her website, christine-gwinnett.com. So just check it out if you're interested. There are also many other authors and teachers who have found a direct correlation between our core human needs and the chakras. So Christine Gwinnett is one of many people who have noticed that. You know, it's pretty easy. Even in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I see it right there. And I would encourage you to investigate your own core needs and see where they match up within the chakra system, which is exactly what we're going to do right now. So I'd like you to grab your journal and your pen, and I'm going to walk you through the instructions first. So drawing from the following list, which is on the next slide, you're going to pick your top seven core needs. Remember to think in the present tense. So that means that really acknowledging where you are now. You may have had a habit or a core need or a desire that you've had for like the first, 40 years of your life. And then in the last couple of years, you've really just moved through it. And I know sometimes doing these quizzes, it's like, it feels weird to pick the one in present tense when your whole life has been about the other one, but just really pick where you are now, because your core needs are going to change as you grow in life. And it might change again next month and next year. After you made your list, pick one core need that needs addressing. So for example, you may have picked fun as a core need, but you know that the majority of your life focuses on work and you haven't scheduled any time for fun. And so you're going to put this list and your chosen core needs aside for now. And as we progress through each chakra, you're going to see if you can match up each core need to a chakra. Now, I know I did say pick seven, but that doesn't necessarily mean that each of the seven is going to match up perfectly from root to crown. It may very well be that two match up to the root, you know, and five match up to the heart, and that's it, right? Or maybe it's more evenly spread or dispersed. There's no judgment here. This is all a process of inquiry and for you to become aware of the chakras. So the list is right here. The source of this list was on the previous slide, which you can reference later, but just take a moment now to take a look at this list and just go with your intuition. And what I would do is just go with each word and circle it if it really feels like a real core need for you, like a really, really big one. And you're probably going to get more than seven. So once you've circled all of the ones that are really important to you, just start to really narrow it down as much as possible. I would invite you to allot about 15 minutes to this exercise. Make note of that list, and we'll put the list aside. And keep that list handy for when we're working with the next section and we're working with each individual chakra. You're going to start to see connections there.